Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Kevin Herr's lawyered up.
I might need to be after the last half hour.
Yes, you might be to me. That's okay. I'm sure that we had a malfunction in the recording system.
Yeah, you never know. These sort of things can happen, and nobody realizes it. Sure. About 13 minutes may disappear.
Thank you, Rosemary Woods. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, and the Hilsters General Store Hotline. I'd like to get your opinion on this. I'd like to hear from the fans. What's your opinion on what the governor did today? Our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. You heard Kevin and me talk about it. Bob Buhner was on with us for about 25 minutes, giving us his legal expertise as a former district attorney for two decades, giving us his perspective on this federal lawsuit that was filed by the Commonwealth today and announced by Governor Tom Corbett. What's your opinion on it? Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565 on the Hilsters General Store Hotline. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio that's on the road. We're mobile today. We're in Madison, Wisconsin. And we'll be here tomorrow as well as Penn State opens the Big Ten season when they take on Wisconsin. That will be tomorrow night at 8:30. Tonight, Bucknell plays at Cornell. Our thanks to Dave Paulson, who joined us on the show on Monday to talk about that game. He's worried about their full court pressure, but right now you're talking about a Bucknell team that is 12-2. They play at Cornell tonight. Saturday they play at Missouri. And Eagle 107 has that game for you tonight.
Yeah, airtime is 6:30 with Doug Birdsong and Terry Conrad. 7 o'clock is tip-off.
Yeah, so that is tonight in Ithaca. The lawsuit by the governor, I will say this is very detailed. It is very detailed. So now we'll see how it plays out along the way.
And Steve, Dave's on. Oh, I'm sorry, Steve. I just want to let you know Dave's on the line from Sunbury to give his thoughts.
Hi, Dave. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
How are you doing, Steve?
I'm well. How are you?
Okay. Yourself?
I'm
well,
fine.
There's three things. First of all, I'll save the governor for last. Did you talk to Kevin Herr about that game last night?
Not yet.
He's okay. Waiting for the opportunity. Don't worry, Dave. He'll get it in.
Okay. And the other game was at LSU. What was that coach thinking?
What were either one of them thinking? The LSU-Clemson game is one of the more poorly coached games I've ever seen on both sides in years. I couldn't believe what I was watching. It was a comedy of errors watching Les Miles and Dabo Swinney match wits. I mean, the wits were winning.
You had the game.
I mean, the wits were winning.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, neither coach had a handle on what was going on in the game. I haven't seen coaching like that since Mike Tomlin and Marvin Lewis.
But like, why didn't he just run the ball instead of the two incompleted passes that would have taken care of that timeout that had? Then they kicked it clear in the end zone.
Well, what got me was that LSU had been looked at as a team that ran the ball and was conservative at the end to protect leads.
Yeah.
So they decided to go against the grain and against their own stereotype and throw it three consecutive times and not have Clemson use all their timeouts.
Right.
And I looked around and thinking, what am I watching here? And then I watched Clemson, and I mean, the list of things that they did coaching-wise, I'll tell you right now, if there's ever an opening at Penn State and those two guys apply for the job,
forget it.
My advice quickly is going to be tell them no.
Or run the other way if they put their name
tell
in.
Tell them no.
Now, getting back to the governor.
Yes.
Personally, I think that's egregious of him to do that now after he waited so long, getting information on Sandusky when he could have pulled the plug years before when it finally did happen.
Okay. Do you think, though, he should never have filed the suit?
Personally, the governor? No, I don't think he should have. Maybe somebody, you know, maybe the lieutenant governor.
Yeah, but he's the leader of the state.
He's the state. Yeah, I understand that. But I'm just saying,
so you can't have the lieutenant governor go out there and do that. It has to be the governor either have the governor or – and I don't think he wanted to wait for Kathleen Kane to be in office. I think he wanted to file it ASAP. That's why he didn't wait until what? When's the swearing in? The 18th, 19th, 20th, something like that.
Yeah. Well, I just said
the legislators were sworn in yesterday, but not the row offices.
So you finally get everything going. Yeah. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, Dave, thank you for your perspective. Our number 1-800-795-9565. On the Hilsers General Store hotline, what do you think of the governor filing the lawsuit? It's comprehensive. I think some people thought that it was going to deal with the $60 million because that's what the rhetoric had dealt with, was the $60 million staying within the confines of the state, and the NCAA saying, no, a task force will dole it out to wherever. And I think many people thought that when the governor was going to make his announcement today that that would be the centerpiece and the focal point of what he was doing, and it wasn't. He went after everything. Because remember, this is a 6-year sanction. This is not a 4-year sanction. I've tried to explain this from day one, that it is 6 years and not 4. Hey, the way it's laid out is year one is done. There are 5 years to go. Year one was no Big Ten championship, no bowl game. Year one. Okay? Year two is no Big Ten championship, no bowl game. Year three, 65 scholarships, no Big Ten championship, no bowl game. Year four, 65 scholarships, no Big Ten championship, no bowl game. Year five, 65 scholarships, but you can compete for the Big Ten championship and you can compete in a bowl game. And year six, 65 scholarships, you can compete in the bowl game, and you can compete for the Big Ten championship. It is spread out over 6 years, these sanctions. And the way they're set up is a major contention for everybody involved here, the way it's set up.
And the one thing you didn't mention is the pillaging of the team in that first year.
Yeah, I have no problem, actually, with the ability of athletes to transfer after the sanctions were announced until the start of the season.
Right.
I do have a major problem with athletes being allowed to be recruited and transfer now until the first day of training camp without losing a season. I have a major problem with that. I have no problem with.
Well, and I don't personally mind if a player comes to a coach or university or program and says, listen, I'm looking to transfer. What do you have available? It's when the university comes to the player. Maybe that's not the way to feel, but I just didn't feel that was right in this situation.
Well, see, here's the other part. Excuse me. Here's the other part in this. I think this is an unintended consequence, okay? I think when the NCAA said that players can transfer from Penn State to another school without having to sit out, and it ended up being, what, 9 players or whatever it was, from Silas Red to USC, Justin Brown to Oklahoma, to Kevin Hapley at Florida State, and Anthony Fair at Texas, and so forth. They're all eligible right away to play. They didn't have to sit out a year. But and so the NCAA does that, but I think the NCAA, I think even they were caught off guard by the meat market. Have not seen a meat market like that since SMU in 1987. But then the entire program at SMU was shut down. So everybody descended upon Dallas to get talent because those guys had no place to go. To actually descend upon a university, follow the guys to classes, have guys hold up in the Lash building, you know, and literally, you know, not want to come out.
Yeah, they created free agency. That's my problem.
Right, they created, but they also created harassment, okay?
Yeah, and that's a different way to look at it, too, yeah.
Yeah. They created harassment. Players being, you know, recruiters hanging outside of dorms, recruiters hanging outside of classes, recruiters near the Lash building, players not wanting to come out of the Lash building and the players' lounge because they didn't want to be bothered. Well, if you don't want to be bothered, for goodness sakes, then stop bothering them. They've already made it clear they don't want to leave. But that was an, I think, for the NCAA, I want to be fair to them, I think that they were caught completely off guard by this. Like, I think even they were sat back and went, oh, that's not good. But, again, what did they end up doing about it? Nothing.
Steve, we got Tony on the line from Shamokin for you.
Tony, how are you? Welcome. Great to have you on board.
Yeah, I just heard you say the NCAA was caught off guard. I mean, gee, what a surprise.
Yeah.
The Pennsylvania Board of Trustees, I mean, could they possibly do anything more to hurt Penn State? I mean, when they signed on to these agreements, didn't they have no attorneys working for them? And now,
Gene Marsh was working for them at the time, and I think he told them that you're in deep trouble here.
Well, I mean, he's an attorney, and like somebody said earlier on your show, judgment before there was judgment. Shouldn't that just stand right out to an attorney? Yeah, you said that. And I mean, right now they instead of standing on the sidelines. Join in on a lawsuit. It would give it more weight. I just don't get it.
I think there's some apprehension on Penn State's part to join it. And here's the reason why. You've signed off on this, okay? Now say you join in with the Commonwealth. Let's say you do. And you don't win. They could slap five more years on you. And I think they're worried about that.
But that's... you know, that's coercion. You know,
I'm
that's
just saying,
a whole different ball.
I'm just trying to lay it out logically here.
Yeah. And I'll tell you another thing I'm tired of. It's hearing these stories about Coach O'Brien leaving. I actually think it's a ploy to keep recruits from coming to Penn State. That's my opinion. Because I don't see
Could
him going
be.
Anywhere. You know?
Could be. I mean, to my knowledge, he hasn't been contacted by anybody.
No.
But, again, I haven't talked to Bill in 3 weeks.
I mean, that's been the story all weekend. And just logically, why would he? Oh, that's another story. But,
right.
I mean, I'm glad the governor is doing something. I mean, he's a little late to the ball game here. But, you know, at least he's trying to do something. And I don't know. I think it's all in the Board of Trustees. They got to get on board with it. And
right.
See what happens. You know, who knows? I'm only wishing the best of luck.
Well, all I know is the lawsuit was comprehensive, and the governor came out swinging, and we'll find out exactly whether any of them go over the fence.
Yeah, and I don't think they would do that without having some pretty good opinions that they're on solid ground. But who knows?
Well, allegedly, this was very, very well-researched. We'll find out exactly how well-researched it was.
Hey, have a good day.
Tony, appreciate the call.
Yep.
We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. 1-800-795-9565. I thought your Northern Illinois team put up quite a fight last night, and then the coin toss happened.
It wasn't as bad as you were making it out to be. You said it was going to be a disastrous game. They didn't belong to be. They didn't belong there.
They would have killed Purdue.
Well, that's true.
Okay, they would have killed Purdue. But against Florida State toyed with them last night. I mean, look at all the trick plays Northern Illinois ran just to keep themselves in the game. Fake punts and onside kicks and the whole thing. I mean, a lot of this was done like, you know, we're going to surprise you. Florida State toyed with them. They have 550 yards of total offense. The two areas where Northern Illinois was absolutely outmanned, their offensive line had no idea what to do with Florida State's front, and their secondary was so afraid of Florida State's speed, they gave them cushion all night. All night.
Well, and that's what made Jordan Lynch, I think, look worse, especially in the running game with the type of offense they have. He's the guy. I mean, everything they do plays off of him being able to successfully run the ball, and there was nowhere for him to run.
No, there wasn't. He had no – and, you know – and you notice I'm not knocking individual players in this thing. I think Northern Illinois gave as good an account of themselves as they could last night. But they're not fast enough in the secondary or at linebacker, and they're not good enough in the offensive line when they face a team. I mean, Florida State didn't have to blitz. Where did Florida State blitz? They blitz?
I was just thinking. I don't remember a blitz either. Now that you mentioned it,
they didn't have the blitz.
I didn't remember it either. Now that you mentioned it.
Northern Illinois did a good job at one point of playing a field position game with Florida State. They had Florida State pinned deep a couple times, made them work along. That's why you see the 550 yards in total offense for Florida State, and but not getting points because you know drives to get to the 50, stall out, you know. And things like that. But I think Northern Illinois gave itself a very good accounting in this game. But it does bring up the topic of, and the game wasn't a sellout. Okay, the game was not a sellout.
No, there were a lot of seats open.
Yeah, the game was not a sellout. And so when you look at, I think it's neat that they were there. I think, though, when you get to the bowl championship, I think you can do this for now. You can't do this once you get to the semifinals. Okay, when you get to the semifinal deal, it has to be the four best teams. I don't care if the four best teams are from one conference. I don't care. Okay, that's.
Well, I agree with you. We'll see what happens with Louisville now and see if they belong in a BCS game because I question that.
That's the other part, too. I'm not so sure Louisville's going to – I could see Louisville losing 31-10 tonight, too. But Louisville at least consistently plays teams that are of a higher caliber and level than Northern Illinois does. You know, we'll see whether that, you know, I'm with you. I could see it being 31-10 tonight, Florida.
Yeah.
But I think when you get to the semifinals, when they finally implement that in a couple of years, I think at that point you can't play games.
Well, we shouldn't be having an argument then. There shouldn't be an argument. If you're in that game, it's because you're one of the top four teams in the country, period. There shouldn't even be a debate.
Yeah, but there will be a debate because it's not automatic bids to get in. It's done by a selection committee. And there's going to be a point, for example, where a Boise State is ranked fourth in the country or fifth, And there are going to be people going, oh, they should, oh, they shouldn't. You're sitting there going, I don't think so. And there's going to be some group in a committee going, oh, yeah, it'd be really neat to put them in. Okay, great, put them in. Here we go. And they eat up a spot of a team that should be there. Now, this year you would have had a debate over the four spot. I think people were universally happy with Alabama, Notre Dame, and probably Florida being in there. There would have been a heavy debate about who the fourth team would happen to be. Is it Georgia? Is it Oregon? Is it Stanford? Right? Is it Kansas State? So you would have had a big debate this year over the four spot. So we'll see. But
I do have one worry, though.
Be, yeah.
Does your hotel room have HD, or do you have to watch this in standard definition tonight?
Oh, no, it's in HD.
Oh, good.
But we have to get a new table to put it on because we built a fire out of the other one. It's cold here.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
On our Facebook page, Jason Johnson posted, "Hey Steve, I can't call in, but my thoughts on the governor. I like what he did for the victims of sanctions, as in the players, the new football staff, etc. I hope the governor is not using this towards election votes from Penn State fans." So that was his reaction on Facebook today.
That thought crossed my mind as well with the timing of this coming about, you know, a year before election time or re-election time.
Well, you know what? I think, look, anytime a politician is involved in anything, everyone's always looking at the ramifications of what it means to the politician personally. But you know what? Let's just look, they filed the suit. Let's see what happens or doesn't happen with it and let it play out. I'm not going to really think or worry about ramifications because the bottom line is when would he be up for election? Would it be a year from now?
Next year, next election cycle.
2014.
Yeah.
2014. When that time comes, let's see what the landscape looks like then. I mean, filing it now, and then there'll be so many factors that will happen between now and November 2014. Factors with the economy, factors with jobs, factors with Penn State, factors with this lawsuit. There'll be a lot of things that have to play out between now and then. To quote Jim Lovell in the movie Apollo 13, there are 800 things that have to happen between here and splashdown. We're up to number 16. So that's where we are. And look, and that's what bothers me about all of this. What bothers me about all of this has been the incredible rush and speed with which some of this has been done. Again, I equate this to having a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. One group sits there and puts together the first 450 pieces and goes, "Hey, we're done, Jenga." No, you're not. Where are the other 550 pieces? I mean, you need to have, when something is this complicated, okay, this complicated, you need to have all the facts or as many as you can garner to then render judgment. It's called common sense. Okay, it's called common sense. And I don't like at all anymore people playing the victim card. I don't like it anymore. Okay? How many times on this show have I prefaced a statement by saying, okay, first and foremost are the victims? You're on the show. How many times have I said it?
Just about every time we mention it.
Yes, because they do come first and foremost. They went through a living hell and still are going through a living hell. So what has happened is that the person that they say put them through the living hell is now behind bars. And there's no monetary number that you can give them and say, boom, it's all better now. You can't do that. I mean, but you do the best you can in that realm in those negotiations. But there are also in this some unintended consequences, all right, that then transfer past the victims. As I said, the person that had been alleged to have perpetrated the crimes against them is now in prison. They faced him and showed the guts to face that individual in court, in a court of law, and go through cross-examination. They did that. Now they're in negotiations with Penn State about monetary damages. We'll see how that turns out. But they're also, along the way, beyond this, smaller, but still, when it's your own personal life, significant consequences. And when the sanctions were handed down, okay, suddenly Bill O'Brien had consequences he never thought he had to deal with because he had nothing to do with this. When the players found out that they wouldn't be going to a bowl game or compete for a Big Ten championship, they had to change their entire mindset about what they're doing. Now, you may say, oh, it's a privilege to play college football. Well, it is a privilege to play college football. But, boy, to wake up yesterday and not be in Orlando or Tampa had to be, you know, tough on those kids because they're looking around saying, what did we do? What did we do? And I'll tell you, there's one other area the NCAA is going to have a slight problem with this lawsuit filed by Governor Tom Corbett. And that is the North Carolina issue. The North Carolina issue is significant. The irony is that Kiplinger's just named North Carolina the number one public university, and Penn State was rated 48th. Okay, so Penn State's in the top 50. Kiplinger's put that out, Kiplinger's Financial. But they had the academic scandal at North Carolina. Part of it involved athletes, student athletes. In fact, there was an entire class of student athletes. No other students in the university. They were all student athletes. Now, this course was offered to everybody, as correctly pointed out by the NCAA. But the NCAA said, well, we have no jurisdiction over that. Okay, now I'm confused. Okay, I'm confused. Okay, you have jurisdiction over a legal matter dealing with a retired employee, but you don't have jurisdiction over an academic scandal that involves student athletes? That's going to be a problem that the NCAA is, in this lawsuit, will have to explain. Well, why are you picking and choosing winners and losers here? Why did you pick that one, but you didn't pick that one? Okay, so North Carolina is going to end up being a problem, and I would not doubt at some point is dragged into this lawsuit questioning-wise. And it is a problem. Okay, the NCAA showed an incredible lack of consistency because they didn't want to overstep their bounds. Well, now people are going to ask, well, okay, you didn't think you should overstep your bounds on an academic scandal that, oh, by the way, involves student-athletes. Okay, but you stepped into this that involved no student-athletes and involved no advantage. By the way, the student-athletes that took that course at North Carolina did have an advantage in terms of their academic standing. Okay. But when it came to this, explain to me the competitive and academic advantage Penn State gained by this. So that's going to be a problem the NCAA has to deal with in here. Now, there are going to be problems the Commonwealth will have to deal with as well, part of it being that Penn State's not a part of the suit. And Penn State is in, you know, Penn State's in a box. They really just have to sit back and watch how this plays out. I completely understand that. But the Commonwealth, see, I think that's the surprising part to the NCAA. When a state government goes out and goes after you, right, I'm sure they're expecting individuals to come after them, but I don't think they expected the state to come after them. And especially not now, the day after the bowl games. I think they sat back and went, really? So...
But I think from Pennsylvania's point of view, by waiting until after the season was over, there's no distractions to Penn State football.
Oh, I agree, but I think the NCAA was surprised they did this. I think the NCAA has been expecting a lawsuit, but this isn't the one they were expecting. They didn't expect the state, right, to get up there, toss the ball in the air, and try to drive it over the fence. All right. State governments and antitrust lawsuits are powerful entities. And we'll find out. I mean, you know, and again, as Bob pointed out, the NCAA, of course they're going to call it baseless. Everything's called baseless till you pay. Baseless. They have no base for this. Baseless. Well, if it's baseless, it'll be ruled that it's baseless, and it'll get thrown out. Then again, we'll find out whether there actually is merit to it.
I've always wanted to hear the NCAA's taking one simple part of this issue. Let's talk about the money that was supposed to be set aside for youth programs and youth protection. I wanted to hear the NCAA's point of view, and they never really explained why they felt this money should go nationally and be split, and they were put a task force in to decide where this money should go. I never really understood the perspective that they had on that. Why wouldn't it all go to Pennsylvania when Pennsylvania is where it took place?
I have no idea.
I know you don't have the answer to that.
I mean, ten days before the sanctions, I completely believe there were not going to be any sanctions. All right? Because I looked around and thought to myself, what rules did they break? I mean, what rules? I mean, that's the part I was trying to figure out.
If you really want to make an argument, it actually should make recruiting more difficult, not easier. That would be the only thing you could say, is that it affected recruiting in an indirect way. Well, there's a real difficult tie-in there, because I've heard some people say that. Well, it affected Penn State's recruiting because if this situation was covered up, as it's been said, then maybe they'd be able to get that better player because this situation didn't exist. That's really reaching to me, but I understand where it's coming from.
I don't get it. that makes no sense to me.
I mean, it's a reach.
I mean, he's retired. And I don't know. We'll see.
The only argument you can make is if a scandal broke, that recruiting would be more difficult, and this makes recruiting a little easier. But again, there's a lot of assumption there to me.
Yeah, I think I've heard that argument, and I've always sat back and went, I don't know about that. I'm not so sure that would have any effect on it at all. I mean, look, this whole thing is broken. Look how they're recruiting now. They're doing great. So, all right? I mean, look at the current situation. How well are they recruiting? The recruiting's gone really well so far.
I was going to say, looking at some of the latest reports, they had some pretty top candidates.
Yeah. So, but I'll say this. The governor's lawsuit was far more comprehensive than I ever thought it would be.
I thought it would just be the money.
And I thought that when I heard about it, I thought it would be a money issue, because that's all we've been hearing about is the money, 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 money. And now they've filed the suit. And one thing it will do is that if the suit goes all the way to fruition, it will force the NCAA to answer questions such as, why didn't you conduct your own investigation? Why did you take the opinions of a report that didn't interview the principals involved? And I've explained why. I'm not criticizing the free report at all. I'm just saying, as Director Free pointed out, who we couldn't interview, and I've gone through that 1,000 times. I don't think I have to do 1,001 here. Why didn't you wait until the trials took place so that you had a fuller and clearer view as to what happened along the way? Why did you penalize individuals that had nothing to do with this? Okay? Those are questions they have to answer. And again, for the Commonwealth, the fact that Penn State's not involved, and I think Penn State is in a box. I don't think they can be involved. But it does make the Pennsylvania lawsuit tougher because Penn State's not involved, okay? But that's not anybody's fault because Penn State is in a box. So,
Steve, I got Earl from Selinsgrove on the line to chime in here on the topic.
Hi, Earl. Nice to hear from you.
Yes, I heard your comments about our governor bringing suit about the Penn State sanctions and that, and about me being political. I think the political part is, why didn't he do something more when he was Attorney General? Why was it put off until after he was elected governor? That's my question.
Well, Earl, that's actually going to be part of what the NCAA's response is going to be. I expect the NCAA, for their part, to bring that up, as you said, and then they'll have to answer for it as to why they took the route they did.
Because they were always saying about Joe and them, they should have done more morally and that. Well, his excuse was he couldn't do anything legally. Well, if he couldn't do anything legally, then what was Joe and them were supposed to do?
Right, well, exactly. I mean, Joe, under the rules of Penn State, followed the rules and reported it up the chain. Okay, we can get into, obviously, more of that later. But you're right. But that's for the NCAA, they're going to be the ones that will bring up the point you just made. Right? And then the Commonwealth will have to answer for that as to what their process is.
Okay, I just wanted to make the comment. Because there could have been maybe a couple other kids saved, or, you know, saved from the things that went on, because things did happen afterwards.
Yes, you make an interesting point, Earl. Very interesting.
Okay, thanks a lot for your time.
No, thank you for your time and your comments. 800-795-9565, the Hilsner's General Store Hotline on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Governor Tom Corbett filing his lawsuit today on behalf of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania against the NCAA. It's an antitrust suit. We have Bob Buhner on in the opening half hour of the show today, who gave us, I think, a rather comprehensive look at the pluses and minuses of the lawsuit. And now we'll see how it plays out. But it is, I think it's a salvo that surprised the NCAA. I'm sure they were expecting a lawsuit, but not from the state. So we'll see. Tomorrow night, Penn State basketball, Nittany Lions will play at Wisconsin here in Madison. The team's going to be practicing here, leaving in about 10 minutes for practice. And then it's going to be the Lady Lions tomorrow night at 7. They're ranked 9th in the country. They take on Northwestern. And on Eagle 107 tonight, it'll be Bucknell at 12-2 playing at Cordell. Then Sunday, they are at Missouri. It's great to have Dave Paulson on the show the other day. Our thanks to Buhner today, who gave us a great perspective. Great perspective.
I thought it was great, though, that Saturday. Dave called in on Monday on the way home from practice, realizing you forgot about it. That was really it. So I started listening, and they're like, oh, I was supposed to call.
I like the fact he was listening to the show.
Right.
That's what I like. That's the part I thought was cool. He's listening to the show going, hey, wait, I'm supposed to be on that show, aren't I? It was great to have him on. He gave us some perspective on his team. I really like Dave. I like Joe Susan a lot, too. It's been great to form those kind of bonds with people along the way. So, and, you know, you're around them all the time. Now,
oh, sure.
I'm about to see the best basketball conference in America face to face. The Big Ten just went 2-5 in football in the bowl games. I can tell you right now, this group in the NCAAs, they're not going any 2-5 in the NCAAs.
Slightly different.
This is the best basketball conference in America this year. Things go in cycles. You know, 1 year the Big 12 is probably the best. Another year the ACC is probably the best. The Big East is always in the argument for the best. Sometimes they are the best. This is a year where the Big Ten's the best. It's not just the upper crust, it's the depth. You saw how Iowa fought Indiana to the wire at Carver-Hawkeye the other night. Michigan is playing great basketball at both ends of the floor. They're probably a better defensive basketball team than Indiana is. Indiana's been great. Ohio State's been really good. Michigan State and Minnesota. Those are the fourth and fifth best teams in the conference? Really? Really? Do you see the show they put on? I mean, Dick and I are going back and forth calling each other up on Tuesday. We're like, did you see that? Or was it on Monday, I guess? I mean, those are the fourth and fifth best teams in the conference? Are you kidding me? I mean, Minnesota's 14-1 now. And Michigan State's Michigan State, so we'll see Wisconsin tomorrow night in person. So I'm about to get an in-person look at the best collection of basketball teams in one conference starting tomorrow night. Thanks to Buhner, thanks to Kevin, thanks to all of your calls today. It's been an interesting day. We'll jump back in tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK on SJS, the Steve Jones Show.